Welcome to episode number 56.
Happy New Year, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And is this the first one of the new year?
I believe so.
Wow, it's all just kind of blended together.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been playing in 2011 since the last part of 2010, kind of prepping up for this.
Well, we were kind of ready for 2010 to be over. I think that's the general sentiment around the country. 2010 was just like,
Well, I saw somebody with an update yesterday that said, all right, come on 2012. Because yeah. Evidently they had a rough couple of first days and were ready for the year to be over already.
They've got the a long year. Wait.
Unfortunately, and this was a young person. It's like, no, don't rush it. You'll want that year later.
59 days left.
You'll take it. So, hey, this is where we're at here. We're at a day after the expedition breakfast.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed that.
I really enjoyed that as well. I thought that was a great thing. I think that we should do that again next year.
It would be a good tradition to start. And that was where basically all the expeditioners who had some predictions to share kind of showed up to share their predictions for the year. And we kind of did I don't know, what do you call that?
It was kind of like a we should have had something to pass, like a gavel, and the person with the gavel could have spoken.
One at a time, kind of.
But it was that same idea, just minus the gavel.
Round robin comes to mind. I don't know if that's the right word or
I'm not sure.
But there was, it was good. So there was a lot of good discussion. Barely would somebody get out with two predictions, and before there was great discussion. I like how the meeting completely exploded and just fell totally apart when we got to the QR codes.
Oh.
You know,
people were excited.
That's a sign. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a sign that, okay, this thing's got legs, you know. So it's hardly a prediction type of thing. It's almost a no-brainer at this point that, hey, that's going to take off. So in that, I know there was a couple of people that were talking about ScanLife as being a really good destination. I've not used that myself. I've been happy with the reader that I have, the app on my phone.
Do you know which one?
You know, I don't.
Well, we'll look it up and put it in the notes.
It works. It starts with the Q and I push it and it happens, you know. And for creating, I guess people are using ScanLife to create QR codes. I've been using, because most of the stuff that I've been playing around with has been links primarily. And I like the way that Bitly, it just automatically gives you a QR code along with the shortened URL that points to whatever you want it to. You know, so that's...
And the Google GOO.GL URL shortener does that as well as a Bud URL. And I believe someone suggested yesterday Be Curious, which is BEQRIOUS. Isn't that clever? Curious.
Yes. Okay. In that whole Web 2.0, you know, gosh. So that was good. That was the QR code type thing was great. And then just talking to Rachel this morning, who's unfortunately unable to join us because she's got that stuff going around.
She's got the funk. She's got some pretty bad funk. She sounds a little raspy.
Got a thick layer of funk on the voice. So even that's not a voice for podcasting today. But she was talking about how Twitter is going to do, they're going to be doing their check-ins here pretty soon. You know, and I can imagine, when's it going to stop? We're going to, you know, you walk into an establishment and there are QR codes, you know, from the ceiling, you know, all the way to the floor for you to scan or to check in to say that you're here and to claim your, you know, your multitudes of discounts and whatnot.
I tell you what, for all of this to take off, the QR codes and, you know, now Twitter's getting into location-based services and the only way that I'm going to be able to participate in all of these things is if my phone has a little bit of a better battery life. You know, I'm hesitant to get really into it because sometimes I don't want to use my phone for extraneous purposes because it dies.
Ah, now do you have a car charger?
I do. I have a car charger and a spare charger in my purse, and I've got two chargers at home, like one in my living room and one in my bedroom. Like, wow. I've got a charger for every occasion,
you need the hand crank one for when you have electricity.
I wish. Do they make those? I would totally buy one of those.
It'd be the great gift for
that'd be fantastic.
For the end of the year. You know, they've got those emergency radios and flashlight type things.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I would totally charge up my. Be like, I really want to check in, but my phone is dead. Wine. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, there is. Gosh, we should have this stuff together before coming in here. But hey, it's very conversational. But you know, you talk about ideas like this, and And one of the things that I've noticed here lately also, and we haven't talked about it, is you see more and more sites trying to connect two people, two kinds of people, both, you know, kind of the supply and the demand type of thing. So, for example, when I was in Seattle, there was a guy pitching an idea for interns, college interns. So these are people who, hey, they're looking for experience in X, Y, and Z, matching them up with corporations who are looking for interns in these various fields. And it's just really just matchmaking.
Mm-hmm. Intern. I've seen that website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We wrote about it.
Oh, right. That was a while ago.
It was only a few months. It blows my mind. It was like August or September when I went to Seattle, and it feels like eons ago. So you see that kind of thing. The other kind of and here recently, there was a site that was dealing with connecting people that had ideas with people that can make them happen and kind of matching those things together, almost like a 48-hour launch.
I was about to say, isn't that kind of the idea behind the 48-hour launch?
But these are websites that are put together like this. Okay. So it's like, okay, you know, you've got this idea and you want to retain some type of ownership in it. You don't want to just send it out there into the wild and be able to point at it later when somebody else is sitting on the beach going, hey, I put that guy on the beach with my great idea. But kind of matching people up. I don't know if there's a term for this type of thing yet or not. The genre of sites that are matching people up like that. You know, people who are looking for rooms. People who are looking to rent types of, you know, rent apartments, this mm-hmm. type of thing. Along with sites with people who have a house, a room to rent out. Or a, you know, an upstairs attic apartment type of thing to rent out. And it seems like, oh, that's a no-brainer. But there's a lot of these new sites coming along all the time, just using to match people up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a whole genre of sites out there. So when we're talking about this idea of having the hand crank radio,
which is
phone,
an excellent idea.
You know, it's one of those things that could go out there. We need to find some links. I think I favorited some recently on Twitter. We can check them out. I know Andy. He also participates greatly in some of these as well, and has talked about it, shared it at some of the Twilight camps. So we'll have to link to that as well. Anyhow. On with the phone thing and the check-in and the QR codes. Right now, do you check in?
Every once in a while. Rachel's the big location-based services guru, as we all know. But I do occasionally dabble.
I am doing it to build a lot of data and to kind of understand it more. So now, when I have time, which is pretty frequently, I've kind of figured out how to do it. I check in now. I'm checking in. I go somewhere. I check in on Foursquare. Check in on Gowalla. Check in on Facebook only sometimes, because Facebook, when you check in there, it goes into everybody's feed, mm-hmm. all your friends' feeds. It's like, oh, okay, I won't do that to them unless it's just something significant and I think I've got something really important to share, other than the fact that, hey, I'm at LunaWeb today. And then recently, I've started using Yelp as well. And it's not because I have an addiction to these kinds of things, really. It's just more to kind of understand and see how they work, and their interfaces are different, and how easy it is to check in, and what different kinds of things that you can do. And along the way, I run into these specials, and there's some good ones out there. I was surprised when I first checked in with Yelp over at the gym. The very first time, I was presented with a coupon that gave you 10 free days.
What? That's awesome.
And so... So I did go down and wanted to make sure this was legit.
Yeah.
It wasn't just some, you know, gym rat who'd put this out there.
Gym rat.
I checked in with the people at the front desk, and not everybody knew about it. So, hey, if you're going to be putting coupons and stuff out there, make sure your staff knows that they're legit and tell them what this stuff is.
Yeah.
The two people I was talking to, one of them was familiar with it and knew about it, and the other one had no idea what Yelp was. Much less there was a coupon here, and I was going to show it to him on my phone.
I've run into that problem with Foursquare discounts, you know, where I thought there was a Foursquare discount and the employees didn't know about it, but then I couldn't find it online, so it wasn't like a big deal. But I was pretty sure there was a Foursquare discount for Sephora, but they hadn't like cleared it with. I think you were supposed to show them your check-in or something like that, mm-hmm. and then you would get like a free gift, like a mini lip gloss or something like that. But
Sephora, I'm gonna show my ignorance.
It's a makeup place. You shouldn't know.
Okay,
what it
okay,
is.
Good.
There's no reason for you to know what it is.
I didn't know if it was a new band or something.
No,
and everybody knew about it except for me.
It's,
okay,
expensive makeup.
Okay. So did you get a Did you get a break?
No. It was fine. I didn't press the issue.
I got
it. I was kind of in a hurry.
So this whole thing kind of brings up another point for these businesses. If you're just kind of out there as a business and you're looking at this and you're going, I'm not into it, you really want to claim your business anyway.
Yes.
That way, at least you've got control over your information, over putting coupons and stuff out there, and you know what's going on. And that way, maybe later you might change your mind. Because I hate to say this, but history has shown that you're likely to change your mind. Right now, if you're looking at it and you're going, no, that's not for me, whatever. But later on, when everybody else is doing it and you'll take a second look at it, you'll wish you had claimed your spot.
Absolutely.
You know, so check that out, or have somebody on your staff who has a smartphone check that out for you and make sure that, you know, you get set up and claim your own business. Unfortunately, this is an example, going back to the gym again. At the gym, the person that had claimed it the first time was not the administration. It was just a user, a customer.
Hmm.
So then when the administration wanted to claim their own and have control over and set up specials, so now there are two gyms to check into.
Ah.
Oh, and I must make note of the fact that I noticed yesterday that Yelp, you know, Foursquare has, if you check in enough times, you become the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And Yelp, you become the duke.
Oh, the Duke.
Yeah.
I like that.
So it's kind of a nice spin on the whole mirror thing. It's like, yeah, you know, it's, I don't know.
I'll be the Duke of LunaWeb.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
It is. It is kind of neat. Especially, yeah, I like it. So check that out.
Yeah,
the
I like
Yelp
that.
App. They've jumped in the game. Plus, they have a lot of data already.
Well, you know, and I run into a problem, you know, here at LunaWeb. We do some social media training for our clients, and I run into a lot of questions with people going, why do I need to worry about location-based services? And I actually downloaded and was looking at, I haven't played with it a whole lot, but a new location-based service called Where. And it's supposed to be I think they called it like a discovery location-based service. Anyway, based on the data it collects, when you check into some place, it will give you recommendations of other places that you would like. So if you check into Sakasui, it might tell you, oh, you might also like Bangkok Alley up the street, and tell you where it is.
Mm.
And so in that way, when businesses get on these location-based services, it could not only affect them when people are checking into their locations, but other locations as well. So that's another good reason to get on and at least claim your business.
That's interesting. I wonder if it'll do that with negative recommendations as well. If that'll ever happen. Kind of like,
I don't know.
If Chuck E. Cheese's, if going in there gives you a headache, then you probably want to stay away from the Incredible Pizza, which is just as loud and whatnot. You probably want to stick to Pizza Hut or something.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Like if you vote the place down. Like if every place you checked in, you gave it like, say, a thumbs up or a rating or something like that, and you gave it a low rating and be like, also don't go here.
If you don't like this, then you definitely don't like these other places also.
Maybe it just gives you like places like this.
Yeah.
So then you can make that call without it having to say anything negative. I know people are so hesitant about saying negative things on legitimate social media sites, like where you have to give a name.
Yeah.
Where you can't be anonymous, people don't want to say anything negative.
Yeah, it's a little PC sometimes, even mm-hmm. even with that. But you know that the whole negative thing, when it is anonymous, I know people just kind of let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but really at the same time, if you knew certain people and you knew, like, if you knew that Dave doesn't like loud places with a lot of noise going on, either a lot of music where I can't talk
mm-hmm.
and have a conversation because I don't have a voice that can pierce through all that noise.
You're not a crazy like techno party dance raver.
No, I can talk loud for a few minutes and then my voice, it goes. It's incredible. So, but if you know I don't like places like that or smoky places, being an ex-smoker, I'm kind of the worst non-smoker kind of person that they have out there.
That's good, though. Congratulations.
So it's like, okay, if you know that I don't like a certain place, and if you felt the same way, then that might be a good indicator that, okay, you shouldn't go there. And if you're a business, let's say a restaurant kind of person, and if you have an environment there that doesn't appeal to some people, you'd actually not like for them to come and then have negative reviews of your place. You'd rather them go somewhere else and then, you know, have a good time somewhere else. Hey, we're not a good fit for you.
Yeah.
you know, then try and get everybody that you can in the door, and then not be very appealing to some people who go out there and spread bad news because of their own bad experience or whatnot, just because of their own personal preferences, and then dissuade other people who might otherwise be great clients from stopping by and seeing how awesome you are.
So what you're saying is that for an application to suggest that maybe you wouldn't like this place could be, in fact, good for that business.
It could. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday at the breakfast was that the killer anything these days, commanding the market, like the killer iPad and whatnot, that's kind of going away because we have so many choices now, not only with devices, there's more and more choices with devices and what phone fits your hand better and what kind of a tablet fits you better, but also the interfaces that you see on these screens are customized and unique. So some people use Google because they like it, and some people can't stand it. They'd rather go use Yahoo as their search engine, and you see the same thing with Bing. You hear that a lot also. Some people just love it and other people just can't stand it. So that same kind of thing would apply here as well.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, this is a little bit of a departure from what we were just talking about, but I was thinking about this yesterday and when I first got my phone, because I was thinking about how much I want the Verizon iPhone, and I really do with all my heart. But when I first got my Android phone, and I was thinking about this yesterday, the thing that I like the most about the Android platform is that if you don't like how something works or functions on your phone, you can change it. Like, I didn't really like the toolbar that comes standard with Android Froyo, and I didn't like some aspects of the interface. So I downloaded a third-party app that, like, overwrote the launcher. And so I have a whole new toolbar, and the phone navigates differently, and I like it a lot more. And I was just thinking about how awesome it is. And you can't do that with the iPhone. I mean, the iPhone works how the iPhone works. But with Android, you've got all of these customization options, and so I do appreciate that.
Excellent.
And so I was just, when we were talking about personal preference and liking what you like, it reminded me of that.
You know, that makes me think about, sometimes people like to keep using the default settings, even though you give them customizable options. I'm kind of like this myself. You give me the options to change it and twist it and turn it around to make it however I like it. Well, I may not have time to do that. I may not want to mess with it. We're not all like that. And so it seems like there will be more of an opportunity for either these phone places or somebody to provide a service for you to go in and say, hey, I know this thing can be changed, but I would really like it to be this way. Can I pay you some money and you just do it for me? Can we just do that?
That would be cool.
A customizer.
Yeah.
A profession or something like that, because more and more things are customizable. Mm-hmm. But not everybody likes to pop the hood and
take
tweak
the time
their own engine,
and
That's
why people are still using Internet Explorer. Because it's the default browser.
It is. Anyway, so there's something to be said for leaving the default settings alone, but also at the same time, more and more now, people like to customize things and make it fit them. And it's great. So with that, hey, we don't have a guest this week.
That is true.
Yeah, so where are we at on the time side of things?
We've got about 9 more minutes.
Okay, good. So let me. Have you seen the video yet of the homeless guy with the voice?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. You gotta check this out. We have to link to this. This guy.
Okay.
Some guy up in Cleveland or whatever. He was a voice talent. He evidently, with some success, got involved in some alcohol and drugs or whatnot, and now he's as of like a couple days ago, he was a homeless guy. I'm sure today he's staying in some kind of swanky hotel somewhere up in New York. This video of him went viral. He's got the most awesome voice. Yeah, his voice sounds great, even on my PC, which is not a Mac, It's a Sony with
Mac doesn't have great speakers either.
Well, they're much better than mine. So I just got the Tinsley AM type of thing going on
here. Gotcha.
And he sounds great.
But, like deep and resonant, or
oh yeah, and so I'm sure he's getting gigs all over the place. And right now, I don't know what It'd be interesting to find out what he's charging for even like a 15-second spot.
Well, what's the video?
It's just of him him on the corner holding his little sign saying that, you know, he's up for hire, and somebody driving up to him saying, you know, hey, you know, giving him the dollar and then asking him for a story.
Huh.
Yeah, and that went viral. So you got to check it out. And I think CBS is flying him to New York or something like that now, and his mom's 90-something years old. That's a tearjerker. I mean, it really pulls on the heartstrings. And this guy, he just seems like the nicest guy, you know, who's messed up, and he's now trying to, you know, walk a straight path. And I think he said he's in his 50s, and so he's trying to make the rest of his life count and all that kind of stuff. It's good stuff.
Well, we will link to that video. Yeah, that sounds great.
So that's kind of one of those things where the social good is helping this out, helping
change
this guy.
Lives.
You know, we're often see that, you know, hey, it's terrible headlines of people dying or freak accidents or thousands of birds flying out of the sky that gets our attention, and that's kind of a bummer. But really, you know, when you look at it, hey, there's some really good things too that catch our attention as well. So we're not just these creatures seeking evil news of, you know, news of, you know, other people's perils. Another story along those lines I read yesterday Facebook. There was a lady who was organizing a class reunion, and as the story goes, then her husband left her, who had found some internet love or whatever on Facebook.
Oh no!
So he was having an extramarital Facebook affair, I guess is how you say it, and then he left his wife and the two very young children with like 3 months worth of bills and whatnot, and he's kind of vanished off the face of the earth, and they think he knows where he's at and all that kind of thing. But one of the lady's friends contacted the other classmates who were going to be part of this reunion and have pulled together a lot of things to help them get by, including cash and stuff for the kids and stuff like that. So at the same time, the social thing kind of, I don't know, enabled this disaster to happen.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, if that's the way it was going to go that way without Facebook.
But, okay. But also, it's the same mechanism, the same thing is also being used, the social tool, utility rather, as they say, being used to help this person out. So I thought that was kind of a good, you know, double-edged sword.
Well, yeah.
You
know? I mean, I think everything kind of works like that. You know, a lot of people are very skeptical of social media and think, you know, that it makes people sit in, you know, tiny rooms in their houses with all the lights off all the time, and they never see anyone and they never talk to anyone on the phone. And I don't, you know, I've never found that. I think there's definitely good sides and bad sides, just like there are to everything. You know, I find that social media doesn't keep me from human interaction. It just keeps me in better touch with people with whom I would otherwise lose touch completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They've done studies. And that people people that use social media are also the same kind of people who get out more. Yeah. Anyway, and socialize.
I haven't read that study. I will look that up.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you find it, it'd be great to have.
We will link to it if I can find it.
It's all
if
about,
it exists.
It's all
if
about,
Dave didn't just make it up.
It's all about the links. I don't know what you'd go search for. Man, sometimes that's tough, searching for stuff. Speaking of which...
We're stretching now.
Well, it is sometimes. I have a hard time finding the information sometimes. But recently, I want to give a plug for Blekko.com, BLEKKO.com. You should check it out. It's a search engine that I'm using more and more.
Is it out of beta?
Yeah, it's out of private beta, so it's still in public beta, but that means you can get on it. And they have these things on there called filter, and the one filter that I use all the time is I'll search for a term, and then after that term, I'll put slash date. And then what will happen is it will search for a certain thing. Let's say, I don't know, let's just say I search for LunaWeb. So just type in LunaWeb space and then slash date. And then what the results come back is it'll show everything about LunaWeb that it's fine, but it'll show you the most recent at the top. So it'll sort not so much exactly by relevance, but by date.
That's great.
And so often in our business, we're trying to look for the latest and greatest about what's going on. You know, if you see something that's a year old, it's ancient, you know, and it may not be valid anymore with so many things that we find ourselves doing for not only ourselves, but for our clients. So searching by date is awesome.
Yeah.
I tweeted about that once, and somebody from Google tweeted me back. In fact, it said, hey, you know, if you the advanced search in Google will do that also. I'm sure it'll give me a screen full of options.
As though Google, I mean, that's great that Google's out there on Twitter, like, trying to get people to use their search, because no one uses the Google search.
But what it told me was, is like, oh, I wonder if they're worried about that. You know what I mean? Because of your point, exactly. It's like, why would Google bother tweeting me, you know, somebody from Google, about that? So that was interesting. It's great. It's a great little search engine, Blecko.com. So on that, the other thing that we talked about yesterday that I think is very important is just the whole Quora.
Right. That was very interesting. I want to get on that and explore that tool more.
I'm a member of a group on Facebook, and somebody had mentioned Quora, you know, the other day, and I came back with, yeah, it's going to, you know, hopefully it won't get trashed by people mm-hmm. trying to self-promote and raise more awareness about them, you know, but because it's self-policed. And on Quora.com, it is this question and answer type of website that's just focused on that. There are other sites that are like this that have been out there for a while, like
Yahoo Answers.
Yes,
and Facebook questions,
LinkedIn Answers.
Right.
There's another service out there called Aardvark. That mm-hmm. was Vark.com. It was bought by Google.
Ask.com. Isn't that a question and answer?
Well, I know their search. I think Ask was
just a search.
Just you. Yeah, you would you would ask it a question, and that goes back to Jeeves and all that. But
I remember Jeeves. That was cute.
Yeah. So Quora. It's been great because not a lot of people know about it. But now, all of a sudden, because it's very popular, it's hitting the mainstream, people are getting in there and already
trashing it.
Already trashing it. And their big hope is that the community that's already there will self-police it and not let these people get away with it. Mm-hmm. But some people just can't help themselves. And after a while, you get tired of trying to be the cop, the keep the integrity of the site in check mm-hmm. police. So it's interesting to see where that might go. It would be great if we would recognize some of these patterns and that we keep going through over and over again. And you take a great website that's got a lot of utility, and then it winds up becoming unusable to some extent because mm-hmm. it's so riddled with marketing messages.
Well, it's not just marketing messages, but people who have no idea what they're talking about. They just evidently, you know, you get on Yahoo Answers and there's people typing completely random things in all caps with misspellings, answering questions like, how do I, you know, get my cat out of this tree? And they are typing hateful messages that are misspelled and improper grammar. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, why?
Yeah.
Well, are you so bored?
This is something really popular. I want to be on it and stake my flag in here. Like, I was here. You know, Kilroy was here, right? Kind of thing. And so I asked my, you know, anyway, I don't know. It's a real frustration, mm-hmm. you know, point. I guess they're trying to do maybe something like Wikipedia in some ways. And that one, it has been a successful implementation of, for the most part.
But it's policed mm-hmm. very carefully.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But they're looking for money. You know, it takes resources to make this stuff happen and to keep it clean when you have outsourced all the content. You know?
Right.
When you let anybody submit stuff, you have to have some filtration there to weed out all the bogus stuff, which is kind of nice, I think, because I think people kind of have recognized that, oh, I can't go put up some stupid stuff on Wikipedia because they'll delete it.
Right.
You know, and they've kind of quit doing that, and that's good. Anyway, a little rant. So, wait, what do we have going on?
Well, let's see. We've got the Twilight Camp on, I was about to say July. January 20th, that's a Thursday at 5:30 at our offices here at LunaWeb at 5180 Park Avenue, Suite 305. That's correct. And the 48-hour launch is January 28th, 29th. Is that right?
It's right in there. We'll get a link to it.
Right? Yeah. For Launch Memphis. So if you've got, you know, an idea like we were talking about earlier with the hand crank, you want to get that up. Don't steal that one. That one's ours. and you want to get that off the ground, sign up for the 48-hour launch. And then next week on the podcast, we should have some information about the new Honeycomb tablet by Motorola that they are announcing at CES today.
Oh, yeah.
And also a little bit of information about the new Apple Mac App Store. That's hard to say. Apple Mac App Store.
And you said that correctly. Apple Mac.
App- Apple Mac App Store. It's the App Store for the Macs, and it comes out today, and there are apparently already 1,000-plus apps, and so we'll be checking that out and getting back to you with some more information about how that is.
Peter Piper picked a peck, right?
Man. Apple Mac App Store.
Good job. Well, hey, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.